Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today we're going to hear the testimony of Susan Feldman. Who is she, and how did she come to know Yeshua as her Messiah? Stay with me, and you'll find out all about it. Shabbat Shabbat, Shabbat Shabbat Shalom, Shabbat Shalom. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at our new location at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you're in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop, now open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 4, and Fridays by appointment only. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit the congregational building.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall live in peace. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim. Shalom, shalom. Shalom, shalom.
That was a great voice of Jonathan Sattel. Next, a beautiful song from Deborah Kleine and Tourneau. Pour out your spirit. Yes, Lord, we need your spirit more than ever.
Mercy, Lord, on your people. Pour out your mercy. Shalom. This is Deborah Klein, Ian Torno.
And Vince Ian Torno.
And you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord and they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Last week, I introduced a couple of new songs from Ted Pierce. He has a new project called A New Day. Here's another song. This one's called Roar Out of Zion.
And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains will flow with new wine, and the king shall sit upon his throne, and the trees of the field and the rivers and mountains, the sun and the moon and the angels of heaven and the people of God will all sing together, and everyone will hear the sound. When the Lord's gonna roar out of Zion, he will utter his voice from Jerusalem. Yeah, the Lord's gonna roar out of Zion, seek your face. We are grateful for your mercy and grace. You are welcome in this place. And the trees of the field and the rivers and mountains, the sun and the moon and the angels of heaven with the people of God will all sing together, and everyone will hear the sound. When the Lord's gonna Zion, he will utter his voice from Jerusalem. Yeah, the Lord's gonna roar out of Zion, and the people of God will see him again. Multitudes in the valley of decision. How dark the night, it was you who created the light, and you are with us day and night. And the trees of the field and the rivers and mountains, the sun and the moon and the angels of heaven with the people of God will all sing together, and everyone will hear the
again, that was Ted Pierce with Roar Out of Zion. And next we have Elena Watson with Awake, O Israel.
Awake, O Israel, put off thy slumber, and the truth shall set you free. In the year of Jubilee.
Again, that was Elena Watson with Awake, O Israel. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, indeed. Well, this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for a pre-recorded interview with Susan Felton. She's going to share how she came to know her Messiah. But next, here's a word from Earl Schillinger. Listen carefully. Maybe you'd like to help support Bagels and Blessings.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. at our new location, 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Here's McAdam with Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Again, that was Makedem, and I know you'd like the English translation. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and lyre. Praise Him with timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that, my friends, is from Psalm 150. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. Stay tuned for an interview with Susan Feldman.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with your glory. Thank you.
Amen and amen. That is Kadosh, comes from the CD Adonai. I'm not sure of the male voice in the beginning, but I know the female vocalist was Karen Davis. And I always like to say that Yeshua made me Kadosh. He made me holy. It is only through the blood of Yeshua that I am cleansed. I am set apart. I am holy, Kadosh. And you can be too. If you don't yet know Yeshua, ask the Lord to reveal to you the truth about the Messiah, Yeshua, and you too can be holy. Amen. All right, well, I'm very excited to share my interview with Susan Feldman. Enjoy. Susan Feldman, welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Well, I'm delighted that you agreed to do this because I know you don't know me, but you saw my plea on Facebook, and I'm always looking for people to interview, and I'm sure God is going to use our time wisely together here. So why don't you tell us a little bit about how you were raised? For example, were you raised in a typical Jewish family?
Actually, I was not. I was raised in a typical Christian family, Assemblies of God background, and I was dedicated to the Lord when I was 2 weeks old and fell in love with Him when I was 3 and have been following ever since.
That is amazing. And, you know, I could tell that we had several contacts in common, and it seems that you've gotten involved with a lot of Messianic believers. So how did that happen?
Well, it has an interesting history. As a Christian young person, teenager, I was very involved in my church and musical programs, and I won a competition that sent us to a national competition in Miami, Florida, and it was there that I bumped into a young Jewish guy, and God said, "You're going to marry him," and I said, no, I'm not. You called me into ministry, and he's just, you know, this pagan Jewish kid. And by many, many miracles of the Lord, 2 years later, we were married. And so I married into the heritage of Israel. And I had grown up loving it through Scripture, but not really knowing any Jewish people. And so as we were married, we were in college together, and we did every holiday with the whole university and led it. And so I learned quickly about Jewish identity and Jewish culture. And through that, and then my husband became a Messianic rabbi, and we were at every conference we could go to probably that ever was for a really long time.
Oh, I love this story. A true example of Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah. Was it hard for him to accept Jesus as being the Jewish Messiah?
Yes. It was one of his most difficult choices in life. And God, the night before he was leaving on a visit that he had come to my hometown to be with the young people he met in Miami, he turned to me and said, "I hate you." And I was like shocked as a very naive, protected young person. And I said, "Why? What did I do?" And he said, "You made me accountable. If I accept this Jesus person, then I'm going to have to make my father accountable. And I don't want to do that. I hate you. I will be miserable for the rest of my life."
Oh, no.
And that's how he ended a Saturday night. Sunday morning, we got up and went to my traditional routine of church. And I taught Sunday school, and I sang in the choir. And he went off to a college and career class, Sunday school class, and he fought with the teacher for an hour. And then when it came in time for church service, I was in the choir, so I wasn't near him at all. And it was one of the most powerful spirit-filled services I've ever been in my life. and the Spirit of God fell upon us, and there was no preaching of the word, there was no offering, but God's presence were there, and 11 people came to know the Lord that day, and my husband was one of them, and several of the other ones are some of our dearest friends to this very day, and that was almost 50 years ago. So he fought with God, and he asked God, if this is real, show it to me. And God said, the first time you came, I showed you my love. Now I'll show you my power. And he was struck like in his thigh, like Jacob, and sat down. And then he was struck dumb for 24 hours. If you know my husband, that's a lot. Because he's
wow.
So anyway, sort of didn't know until the day after. He was just silenced by God. And that is the shortest part of the story I've ever given. Shortest version. But anyway, he went away, and he lived at that time in Erie, Pennsylvania, and I did not hear from him for 7 months. And then when I finally heard from him, he was moving back to Brooklyn, and he had decided to work with a mission outreach there on Coney Island Avenue, and invited me to come and spend the summer working at that mission. And so part of it, the tricky part of this is my parents, who were very happy that I was this wonderful Christian girl called into ministry, were not very happy that I brought home a Jewish guy to stay in our house. And so when I asked to go to New York, they told me I could not go.
Oh, no.
And I said, well, I'm not asking. I'm kind of telling you. I just turned 20. And my pastor was very much on my side and said, this is the best thing that could happen to you. So he raised funds for me to be able to do a missions trip in New York City for the summer. And so I went to New York and met this Jewish family and was trembling. Went camping with his mom and his sister. And it was amazing. And a lot of things changed in my ideologies, and I came back home and went to work. But we decided on that trip that we would be married. It was not very romantic. I just need you to know that. it was, what is God doing in our lives? And I was a sophomore in college going on to my junior year, and he had been in school for a while and stopped, and so we just sat down and logisticized, if that's such a word, our lives, and as a believer, and if we did get married, what would happen? If we didn't get married, what would happen with our lives? And I was going away to a Bible college, and he said, well, I could go there too. And I said, we're not going to the same school unless we're married, because I'm not going to put up with thinking about you or, you know, being jealous or any of those kinds of things. So we talked about NIAC. I was going to Evangel College in Springfield, Missouri. And so by the end of our conversation, we nailed it down that I could go to school, he would work, he would have he would get baptized before we got married. We picked a date to do that, and that was it.
Wow. You know, Susan, as you're telling me the story, you know, the one thought that keeps going through my head is, did his family hate you and think that you just took their Jewish boy and converted him to a Christian?
Actually, his family in the beginning loved me. I was the nicest person anybody else had brought home. He has two brothers and a sister. His sister was married to a Catholic at the time, and his I don't know how to tell you the story of his other brothers. But anyway, I was asking what happened to their family. And so they were thrilled with me as a person. And so they didn't feel that way. But I will say that his father refused to come to the wedding ceremony because it was held in a... And he stood on the front steps and waited for it to be over. And that's what his rabbi had told him to do. And so that was very, at that time, I didn't understand anything about Jewish culture and identity and the difference between who we were, what they were. One people of God, in my mind, that's how I grew up. But now, we've been married 46 years, so a lot of years later, I would have probably chosen to do it differently and brought more honor and respect to his side of the family, but I didn't know that. So that's part of my life's journey, is helping other people be aware of why it's always important to understand the cultural backgrounds and who they are, where they're coming from, and all that kind of thing.
Sure. So your husband became a Messianic rabbi, and you're a Rebbetzin, the rabbi's wife.
Yes.
How's that going?
It has its ups and downs, and rounds and rounds.
Well, listen, I'm sure by now you've learned how to be Jewish. You have to answer a question with a question. No.
we were in New Jersey, actually, for the first part of our ministry lives.
I'm sorry.
So that was exciting. I told him I could live in New York City until my firstborn was 5, and then I wanted out of New York. So we picked New Jersey and lived in the suburbs, and that was fine. And then God miraculously invited us to come to Kansas City. There hasn't been an outreach here, and there was one that came and went pretty quickly before we got here. But anyway, so he gave us a threefold mission. We started a radio program, and we did that, and we had a Messianic book and gift store and a freestanding strip mall. We did that, and then we started a congregation. And after that, we started an institute for learning how the two come together and what made them fall apart.
Wow.
So we had that for almost 20 years. Our bookstore was open for 15 years. Radio show was 18 years long. It doesn't exist anymore. The store doesn't exist anymore. And the institute doesn't exist anymore, thanks to COVID. But it's been quite a journey. And by having our bookstore, it was called Shalom Emporium, we had all the items any Jew ever needed for any holiday there ever was. And we had all of the materials any Christian would need to know to learn about Jewish people. And so it was a fascinating time. The store wasn't super busy, but there was always people coming through. And we really had opportunity to talk to both sides of the coin. And the Jews in town didn't like that at all. And so a cute little side story. I have 4 children, but when my youngest son was 3 or 4, I wanted him to be in a preschool. And what better preschool to be in than the Jewish preschool? And it was at an Orthodox synagogue about 3 blocks from our store. So I made an appointment with the rabbi, and I thought it would be appropriate to ask first rather than try to sneak in, kind of a thing. And we sat down and we talked, and my son did not get allowed to be part of that because I was not halakhically Jewish, so therefore they did not consider him Jewish. But the rabbi also told me that I was more Jewish than most of the women in his congregation. The way I keep Shabbat to the way I train my children. And we had a marvelous conversation.
Wow.
So they are afraid of us. And I'm like, what? What do you have to be afraid about? And he said, because you are excited about who you are and what you are. And we're afraid that you will win them over. And I'm like, why aren't you just training them to be good Jews and love God?
But
anyway, so...
So what's going on in Kansas City these days?
So what's going on is, the most unfortunate thing of Messianic Judaism in my life is when you have three Jews, you have five opinions, and when the congregation starts splitting and going and growing crooked, my opinion, sorry for the world that's listening, but so we're still here. We've been here for 30 years, and since COVID hit, we went to a Zoom format, and so we meet on Friday nights, we meet on Saturday mornings, and we have a Torah study on Saturday afternoons, and I am the Torah teacher.
Wonderful.
And so we have a wonderful time of discussing the portion and how to live our lives according to the things that are in each Torah portion. And I had a desire here in Kansas City that while in ministry, in fact, we only planned to be here 2 years and we were hoping to move to Israel, but we're still here. And that I wanted to have a biblically literate community. I found that in other places, everybody rejoiced in the Lord, so to speak, but a lot of people didn't know the Word of God, and they didn't know Torah. And so I declared that that would be my goal in life, is to make sure that these people understood the Word of God. And so if I die tomorrow, I'll be happy I accomplished that, and still enjoying learning every week more about Torah.
That's very inspiring.
Every variety of sources.
Wonderful. What's the name of your... go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm not afraid of any Jewish sources, rabbinic or from the Kabbalah or anything. Because with Yeshua at the center, he casts out all fear. And then to understand why Jews think the way they do or what they read and what it means to them helps us to be able to speak about who Yeshua is better. So,
Amen. And what is the name of your congregation for those that want to look it up?
Adat Yeshua.
Adat Yeshua.
A-D-A-T.
Wonderful.
Of Kansas City.
Wonderful.
Because there are several Yeshuas around the country.
Wow. Well, I have to say I really admire your spirit and your motivation, and you haven't been sitting idly by, but you really have a desire to teach and to have people know the Lord more fully, and you're really doing all that you can to attain that goal, and I love it. How would you like us to be praying for you, Susan?
Pray that God would send young people, call young people to fall into ministry space of all of the older rabbis. There are so many congregations, our rabbis are in their 70s now.
Yep.
And it would be nice to take it a little more easy, lighten up, not carry so much weight. And so I think that's a broad request, but it's also personal for our community. One of the things that we've done in the last 10 years, I hope it's our legacy, is we have built a library. Now, we've built the book section. We're looking someday to build the building. We have an architectural rendition ready to go, but not the $3 million to help make it happen. But we have 13,000 volumes, and from Jewish sources to Christian sources, but really about the schism that went on throughout history and how right now, in our day and age, it's coming back together in scholarship. Catholic scholarship, Jewish scholarship. Martin Annis, I don't know if you've heard of Martin Annis, mm-hmm. and his book to the Romans. But there is just so much going on that's bringing it together. And Amy Jill Levine from Vanderbilt University, and her spirit, her books, there's a lot of these people that are coming and speaking out on the Jewishness of Yeshua from a Jewish perspective. And so our library is built around that, and it's just a magnificent place. We are almost ready to open when COVID hit, and so I hope that we can recoalesce. Some of our volunteers are a little bit older, and so it's, you know, we're looking for younger people again in that category.
Oh, sure. Sounds like Kansas City is a happening place.
We think so, but you know, I don't know. I don't remember exactly where you live, but
upstate New York, upstate New York, Rochester area.
New York is something. Kansas is a place to come, very much. And so, I would love for some of my New Yorker friends, Connecticut friends, to come out this way. I would love for some of my Florida friends to come out this way, but unless the tornado picks them up and brings them here, too many of them are going to come.
Wow. Well, Susan, this has been delightful. Do you have any parting words or any message you want to say as we close out?
There is something real exciting I wanted you to know.
Okay.
I heard through the line of a friend of mine that you interviewed a friend, Alan Levine.
Yes.
Recently.
Mm-hmm.
So the quick story about Alan Levine, I met Alan Levine the same exact weekend I met my husband in Miami, Florida.
Wow.
They were, him and his lovely wife were visiting my husband in Miami the same weekend I was in there. And so we had quite the journey to help lead them towards the Lord and help raise them up in ministry. So kind of cool how life intersects. We were just down there a month ago.
Wow, small world.
My husband came to faith 11 years before Alan. And Alan, they had been friends in college at New Paltz. And so Alan did not want to come to faith because because Jerry did. And the weekend he came to faith, we happened to be visiting them in Florida, and he came to the door, and his wife said, "Go ahead, tell him. And he says, "I don't want to." And he put his chin down to his chest, and he goes, "Okay, I have to tell you, you were right. Jesus is Messiah."
Oh, hallelujah. That's wonderful. That's great.
Sweet, sweet moment. And they have done great, great things in ministry in Florida. And we're just so proud of them and excited to know them and love them and be part of who they are. So I love how God uses us as a tapestry woven together.
Mm.
And so
amen.
We rejoice in faithfulness.
Amen. That's fantastic. All right. Well, we've run out of our time together, but I want to thank you so much, Susan, for agreeing to do this interview. And I hope that we can talk again sometime and that you will stay in touch with me and let me know what's going on in your life.
Okay, thank you.
All right, so shalom for now. All right, thank you. That was my interview with Susan Feldman, and this is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And I love hearing stories like that.
She wasn't raised in a Jewish home, but she met a Jewish man, and he came to know the Lord, and together they are serving Messiah as one. Here's Joel Chernoff with Jew and Gentile.
Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua's love. Jew and Gentile, one in Messiah, one in Yeshua, one in the olive tree.
Adonai, Vayismarecha. Yair Adonai panavalecha vikunecha. Yisa Adonai panavalecha. V'yasem lecha shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying shalom alechem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.